Tonight is July 13th. We're learning Masechet Sukkah. We're in the first perek and the second to last Mishnah of the perek. That's Mishnah Yud. And here we go. It's the top of the page in the edition of Professor Chanuch Albeck, page 262. The Mishnah begins, Bait shenifchat v'sikech al gabav. Im yesh min hakotel lasikuch arba amot psula v'chein chatzer shehi mukefet achsadra sukha gdola shi kifua v'davar she'en misakachin bo im yesh tachtav arba amot psula. So again, that's the Mishnah Yud, the 10th Mishnah, and we're going to go now through the words one by one. Bait shenifchat is the way the Mishnah opens. And I want to spend a minute on that second expression there, shenifchat, to break it down into component parts and try to understand, without me just telling, what it is. So let's ask the first question. What one letter can we remove? What one letter is certainly not part of the root, even not part of the verb?
The shin.
The shin, right? The shin. Yeah. Clearly, that's just a prefix. Bait she, a house that. So the word is nifchat. What other letter is certainly not part of the root?
The nun,
top, right? The nun makes it passive. So the word is, or the root is pei chet taf.
Right.
So does anyone know what that root means? In general.
Open.
To open.
No, that's patach.
That's patach. Right. That's a different order.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Had the letters reversed.
Okay. So if you reverse the letters, then it's patach, and it means to open.
Yeah,
this is pachat. What does it mean? In general.
Diminished.
Okay. So if it's a passive, was diminished. A house that was diminished.
When you're saying passive, you mean past.
Passive.
No, passive.
Passive.
It, the
not active, but passive.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand you correctly.
Yes. So a house that was diminished, what could that mean?
Mitmotet.
Very good. A house that collapsed. We'll have to now understand what part of it collapsed, what didn't collapse. But yes, a house that was diminished, something's missing from it. Okay, so bait shenifchat v'sikech al gabav. A house that was diminished. And sikech al gabav, and you schacht on top of it, literally on its back. Okay, so what do you think happened? What's the situation?
I would suspect that the roof collapsed, mm-hmm. and someone tried to put schacht to make it a sukkah.
2 points for Yoram, mm-hmm. right?
Is it 2 points? I thought it was
three.
At least six.
No, it's only two.
Yards,
it's only two. 2 points is between 1 point and a gold star, whatever. So actually, whenever we encounter a scenario like this, it reminds me of the living room of the house of the Boston Rebbe in Boston. I think I've told the story.
The roof collapsed?
Not the roof collapsed, but he had a retractable roof.
Oh.
Right in his dining room. You're sitting in the dining room, and suddenly it becomes a sukkah.
Oh. Wow.
Because he has schach there, right above the table, dining room table, and above the schach is a retractable roof. You just press a button. In those days, it wasn't a button. You had to, crank it, and the roof disappears. That comes directly from the scenario.
But because the original structure had a different purpose, and the whole structure was not built as a sukkah.
Well, I don't know if it had a retractable roof.
The essence of a sukkah is the schach.
Very good.
Correct. But we've also seen that there is an issue of kavanah and what was your intention in building the structure.
The
schach. Okay, so that only applies to the schach.
Yeah.
Not to the rest of the
schach. But for all practical purposes, he's not going to remember we talked...
So the walls, we said there are very few requirements. The walls don't have to be built for the purpose of sukkah. They could be extremely strong walls, of a building, that's fine. The schach is the issue.
You said that he has a schach and above it the roof. So you take the roof and the
takes
schach
the roof
is
there. And the is there, yeah. Okay.
It's the, maybe yeah. it's the schach before.
So the kavanah really applies
in the to
the schach. To the intent, to what was your intention of the schach. Okay,
so you make kavanah for 10 years?
So what's the answer? You asked the good question, so what's the answer? The schach, let's say, has been there for 10 years. Every year he opens and closes the roof. Right,
so it's
l'naneya.
Pick it up.
The word, the our Mishnah word, wasn't l'naneya, it was mipakpek.
Mipakpek,
right? And that's in order to solve the problem of?
The permanence.
The permanency
of it. Tasevelu minasui. That has to be put there when that makes it into a sukkah and it can't be made into a sukkah by the way. In other words, when you have the roof closed, it's not a sukkah.
Right.
You open the roof, then it becomes a sukkah automatically. So now you have to go and move the schach a little bit.
So
it becomes put there for the purpose of sukkah when it is made into a sukkah.
Are you implying that under the roof, he has schach?
Yes, I am implying that.
For the whole year?
Yes, I think, I might be wrong, but I remember is that you look up and you see some very, thatch on the roof and you think that's just the way it was built. And then they tell you, you move away the roof and that's chach. So anyway, that's our Mishnah. Bait shenifchat v'sikech al gabav. Im yesh min hakotel lasikuch arba amot psula. If there is from the kotel, which we have called in the past a dolphin, red light.
What's
I'm going to stop for a second. It seems like we should do some textual criticism here, and we can immediately say that most probably the Mishnah that called the wall a dolphin and this Mishnah that calls the wall a kotel, they probably are from different Bati Midrash, different historical periods, right, different strata. Perhaps one is from Bavel and one is from Eretz Yisrael. Right? Were I a critical scholar, then I would be teaching you that's the most important thing in this Mishnah, to figure out where these different materials came from. By the way, I'll just say parenthetically, I did mention a little bit in the past about source criticism and about the sources of the text when we saw the matter of words that seem to be superfluous in the Mishnah, and we talked about the fact that perhaps the text had undergone a number of different redactions and recensions. Remember that? And I mentioned in that context Rav Professor David Weiss Halivni, and that he's the probably the biggest Talmid Chacham in the world alive today, whose focus is on source criticism. So during my jury duty today, I was reading his autobiography.
So
I have the whole matter of source criticism in my mind, uppermost in my mind. So, if there is from the kotel to the schach arba amot psula. On those words, I asked a number of different questions on my sheet. Let's begin with question 2. I'll read the Mishnah again and then question 2. If there is from the kotel to the schach arba amot, disqualified, psula. And the question says, question number 2, are the 4 amot cited here near the beginning of the Mishnah a horizontal or a vertical measurement? Right. Ayla, horizontal, vertical.
Horizontal.
Very good. Right? It's a horizontal measurement. Just want to make sure that we got that.
It's the same midah of the Nisarim.
Very good. Right? We talked about the Nisarim, the boards earlier. And there we were also talking about Arba Mot. No, we weren't.
We talked about
Arba Tfachim.
But here is
Amot. Is
here it's Amot. Right?
Arba
Amot. Arba Amot, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty big, right? That's a big space up there on top of the sukkah. So we're measuring from the top of the dofen, here called the kotel, or at least from the top of the vertical line that goes up from the kotel, from that point until the beginning of the schach, right? The schach is where the roof was collapsed. I'm now giving that away. Right? So there's a distance between that point at the top of the dofen to the beginning of the schach, and we're talking about a distance of arba ma'ot, horizontal distance of arba ma'ot. What is that distance filled with? What's there in that place now in those arba ma'ot?
The roof.
The roof, right? What's left of the roof is there. The
pre-existing roof.
The pre-existing roof, right? So I think that is what I asked in question 3. What exactly are we measuring? What material with these four ma'ot? It is roof. And if I want to talk about that roof that's there, that pre-existing roof, in halachic terms, what words would you use to describe that roof? In the halachic terms of Hilchot Sukkah.
It's not valid schach.
Exactly, right? It's schach pasul. It's schach pasul. Exactly. So what you have is,
you have this very wide stretch of schach pasul that is making too great of a span,
right,
of schach pasul that you can allow. You can't have that much.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
this is a case where it's not a percentage.
This is a case where it's not a percentage, right?
It's
an absolute measure. It's an absolute measure. It's a distance.
And it's not incumbent to mark, because it was a
tuli. Now, of course, you're right. It's something that is chach pasul, whether because it's made from something that doesn't grow from the ground, or because it's mikabel tuma, or because it's a roof, whatever it is, doesn't matter. It's clearly chach pasul. Right? And of course, the other thing we want to point out, which is obvious, is that the schach pasul is not in the center of the schach, it's on the edges.
Border.
Right? That's part of the definition of the case. If we're talking about a normal room of a house that has four walls, so it means that we have four walls, and all around the walls at the top, moving towards the center, schach pasul, whereas in the center, we have schach kasher, because that's what it says, sikeich al gabav. Okay.
It would be possible the other way. I mean, for the outside to collapse and the inside to...
So it couldn't be a collapsed house, but there are other ways of describing a scenario. We'll talk about another few minutes in which the schach pasul is in the emtza, in the middle, whereas on the outskirts is the schach kasher. Right? That's a possible scenario, just not the one discussed here.
Right.
Does that matter? We'll have to talk about that.
So I noted that you said that it doesn't matter why it's pasul, and I'm just not quite sure why you said that, because it's the case is about how it got to be there, that it was pre-existing roof, or we're assuming that's what it meant, that it was pre-existing roof. If it didn't matter, then what's the point of the first part of the Mishnah?
Okay, so actually the Gemara talks about that, very good, and we'll get to that.
Okay.
Does it matter what type of schach pasul we have on the outskirts here? We'll talk about that. Oh, I was just going to say something else and I lost it. We'll talk about that. Question 4 is a pretty straightforward, easy question. Surely the law cited near the beginning of this Mishnah is not limited to a case of exactly four amot. Rather, what words were assumed in the text but not explicitly written?
or more,
right? Obviously, you guys already see how I think, right? So what it really means is, beginning from the beginning of the Mishnah, Bait shenifchat v'sikech al gabav, Im yesh min hakotel lesikuch arba amot o yoter, or more, sula. Now remember what I was going to say to David. Indeed, the Gemara is going to talk about what you mentioned, so we'll get to it. But I could simply say, why is the scenario as it is, and not a scenario in which different schach pasul is on the outskirts? The answer simply could be because that's the reality. They had houses made of simple materials, and it sometimes happened that the roof collapsed. That's not a very, very, you know...
not very satisfying.
unless they had the primitive form of what that Boston house was.
Yeah.
Where they could not really afford to build a separate structure. You know, in those days, you know, you don't go to Home Depot and you buy 2x4s.
Yes.
Right.
Okay? I mean, it was a little bit more complex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the Romans didn't get you first or what, you know, the other thing. So I guess they could remove the roof easily enough and replace it with schach.
Yes. The truth is that Yoram just reminded me of a Tosefta. I haven't seen this for many years. A Tosefta in which there's a machloket between Shammai and Hillel concerning the question, from what age does a young Jew have to begin to keep mitzvot? And all of us think we know the answer, right? 12 for a girl and 13 for a boy. The truth is, in the time of the Mishnah, that wasn't yet settled. And according to Shammai, you have to begin keeping the laws from the moment of birth, I think it is. So there's a story that Shammai opened up the roof in the nursery of his grandchild. And there, I don't remember the verb, but it's an active verb. He opened up the roof. Here it says nifchat, that it was collapsed. Right. Yeah. This wasn't done purposely here, but there is a Mishnah that talks about it being done purposely. By the way, just parenthetically, according to Shammai, you have to fast also from that same young age on Yom Kippur. Yeah.
It's a good thing Shammai didn't win it.
But, no. I mean, just to make an aspect of my point, it's because it could be that it just has to do with the intention of why something was put there. Right? I mean, that's...
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so like I said, the
maybe
Gemara,
you don't have to put all of the schach there with the intention of making a sukkah. Maybe for a moat around the edge can be there for be put for other purposes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like I said, the Gemara,
yeah,
we'll talk about that. Okay, so now we're going to go to the larger context, remembering earlier Mishnayot and comparing this to those. And that's question 5. Which earlier Mishnah or Mishnayot seem to deal with the same subject as the beginning of this Mishnah?
The end of 9.
The end of 9.
Yeah.
So 9 is on page 261. And the end of it, you mean the last line?
Yes.
Right, the last line of Mishnah 9. Hirchik et ha-sikuch min ha-dfanot shlosha tfachim psula. He distanced the schach from the tfanot, from the walls, shlosha tfachim, 3 tfachim psula. And actually we talked about the fact that in the division of the Mishnayot, in the printing of the Babylonian Talmud, this line indeed is part of our Mishnah. It's not part of Mishnah Tet, it's the beginning of Mishnah Yud, the beginning of the 10th Mishnah, because it's the same subject as Mishnah Yud, and that subject is the vertical, right, the vertical distance between the walls and the schach. Horizontal. Right. Said Ayala in
yeah.
English, if 3
yeah.
tfachim are psula, then all the more so arba amot. But we answered that question last week. The question is, why does our Mishnah say that it's psula with arba amot, assuming that less than arba amot is kasher, whereas we learned last week that shloshat tfachim is already pasul. It's a good question, but the answer is simple. We said last week.
Because there was a gap on the other.
As opposed to?
Wall. I mean, a ceiling.
As opposed to
a
right.
As a,
right. We
right.
talked last week about the difference between an open space avir as opposed to schach pasul. That apparently there's a difference. Why the difference is a separate question, which we also talked about, but let's go stage by stage. So what we have to say is that which is worse? Which is more chamor? Which is more severe? Open space or schach pasul according to what we just saw?
Open space.
Open space, right. Open space is posel with three tefachim, right, just this much space, three tefachim, or more, it's already pasul. Whereas with schach pasul, you have to get to arba amot, it appears at this point, in order to come to a place of pasul. So it seems pretty clear that open space is worse than schach pasul. And last week we asked the question, why? No. We saw in the Taz, the Torah Zahav, a commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, the last source we saw last week, I think it was, he says, Amiram, you saw this just 2 days ago on Shabbat, right? We went over this, do you remember what the Taz says? It's not a big earth-shattering insight, but it's something. Right, the Taz simply says that open space is more noticeable than schach pasul. Schach pasul can look pretty similar to schach kasher. With an open space, that's noticeable. That's
you
what he said.
Pay attention to it.
Pay attention to it. The sun is streaming in. You can feel it, right? You can feel it on your body. Whereas schach kasher, schach pasul, what's the difference as far as what you feel in the sukkah? It's all shade. What does it matter? So that's a reason to say that avir is chamor yoter, it's more severe, and therefore it is posel with less than schach pasul. Okay, but that line that we just read, that David pointed out, is not the only line we've learned in the past 2 months that has a relationship to what we just learned tonight. It's not only that, but Ayla, you mentioned just a few minutes ago, another Mishnah that's connected.
Where we learned about the mistafim.
Exactly.
The nisarim, the boards. Right?
But there it wasn't how far they were from the walls, but how far they were from each other.
Well, there were two mishnayot there. Yes, one was the boards with a distance between each other. Okay, let's leave that aside. Yeah. But what about the one that introduced the idea of boards? It was Mishnah?
Rav.
The sixth Mishnah. The sixth Mishnah said as follows. We'll read the second half of the sixth Mishnah, the second half. And it says, it's the last word of the line of Mishnah Vav. Natan aleya neser. He put upon it, upon the schach, the sukkah, a neser, a board, it's in the singular, shahu rechav arbat fachim, which is arbat fachim, and the sukkah is a still ksheira. Ubilvad shelo yishan tachtav.
But you just can't sleep.
You can't sleep underneath. It seems to be saying that the neser, that's arba tfachim, only tfachim, right? Don't get it mixed up with amot. Only arba tfachim. The sukkah's ksheira, ubilvad shelo yishan tachtav. You can't sleep under that board, but the board doesn't make the sukkah psula.
That part is psul, but it does not.
Right, the sukkah.
The rest of it.
Right, the rest of the sukkah is not pasul.
Well, it's not just for sleeping. I guess you could eat under it.
No, you can't even eat under it. That under it is pasul, but the sukkah, the rest of the sukkah has not been made pasul. Whereas in what we learned today in Mishnah Yud, you made the whole sukkah psula by these four amot. Now we seem to have a little bit of contradiction. Because if we just re-remembered what we learned a few weeks ago, that a board of arba tefachim is still ksheira. That's the sukkah. It seems to imply that were it to be more than arba tefachim, again, are more and less, then it is posel at the sukkah. Mm-hmm. Right?
Although I guess it's active versus a passive dimension here. Right, because this is if something collapsed. You didn't actually set it there.
No, I don't see that, because it says it collapsed, and then sichek al gabav, you decided to make it into a sukkah. Yeah.
So, I thought that in the process of it collapsing, something collapsed, and you figured you would use that, you setting something on the roof of you setting something pasul on the roof of the sukkah that you're building.
No. Your house collapsed.
The roof caved in.
The roof caved in.
So, can you use a...
It says caved in.
But so, you're using something, in other words, like a ruin for a sukkah, versus you taking some material that you know from the outset are not suitable for schach, and putting it there by intent, versus something that's pre-existing that you're making use of.
Okay, you know, okay. I hear. Okay. I didn't think of that.
I didn't know that it maybe completely wrong.
But just let me make sure one understands the contradiction.
In Vav, we learn that if Shehu Rachav Arba Tifachim, so then it's Kishera, but we're talking here about Arba Tifachim or less.
Right.
And Arba Amot is far more than Arba Tifachim.
And therefore?
So, but even by Vav, it should be Pesulah.
The place that it's covered is Pesulah.
Wait a second. Two different things. One is under the Shach Pasul itself. That we've decided you can't use the area underneath. Right. But that's not the question. The question is the Sukkah itself.
Right. Vav just says if it's less than Arba Tefachim, then the Sukkah is
Shela.
But it doesn't address the more, and it almost implies.
What does it imply?
It implies that if it's more than Arba Tifachim, that it's Pesulah.
Exactly, and that's our contradiction, right? That Mishnah Vav implies that Tzach Pesul, if it's more than Arba Tifachim, the Sukkah's Pesulah. Whereas today's Mishnah,
it says only if it's that distance from the edge.
The Tzach is Pesulah, if it's only
Arba with one condition that space is from the edge.
So you just suggested a possible terutz, a possible way to reconcile. But let's just make sure, wait a second, do we understand the contradiction, right? The contradiction is that according to Mishnah Vav, it appears that Tzach Pasul of more than Arba Tefachim disqualifies the whole Sukkah. Whereas today's Mishnah Yud, implies that if the Tzach Pasul is Arba and a half Tfachim, or Chamesh Tfachim, or Eset Tfachim, the Sukkah means Shira, as long as that Tzach Pasul is not Arba Amot. So there's a contradiction.
Min HaKotel.
And then you say you have an answer to the contradiction, which it depends. Wait a second, so Jan says she has an answer. And the answer is it depends where the Tzach Pasul is. And Jan is claiming that Tzach Pasul in the middle is worse than Tzach Pasul on the side. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that seems to be the implication.
It's
right?
A contiguous area.
It's
you can sit under.
Okay, so now let's follow this line of reasoning of Jan's. And I'm going to ask a further question about it. So what we are supposing is that Tzach Pasul in the middle of the Sukkah, the minute you have more than Arba Tefachim, it ruins the whole Sukkah. Whereas Tzach Pasul min Hatzad, on the side, that's contiguous with the walls, that is less serious, and that's quite all right, until you have Tzach Pasul on the sides that is so big that it gets to Arba Amot, and then it's already too much. So now why? Why can you think of any bright ideas, any insights, why Tzach Pasul on the side might not be as serious, not be as bad as Tzach Pasul in the middle?
Security reasons, I think.
Security.
I mean, I think a wide board, in from Vav, a wide board in the middle, you know, I mean, with the first time I heard don't sleep under it was because it could collapse on you, and I started thinking,
you're too practical.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I won't go on because my entire argument is a practical one. Yeah.
I don't think it's practical.
I mean, I was also going to say that, I mean, if you're under a roof that's already proven to collapse some, you know, when you don't want to sleep under
it. I hear.
Yeah, it's just a practical argument.
Okay, another try.
I was thinking that if we have some roof left over on the side, but we have this big contiguous area, again it gives the appearance, the look and the feel of being in a sukkah. Right. Where if it's a board down the middle of it, it breaks it up.
Mm-hmm. It's really noticeable, which is the argument
care. And that's something actually going to come up in some of the Rishonim, some of the middle of authorities. We're not going to look at that, but that could be something. I'm going to draw something on the board.
Okay.
Let's see. So, obviously there's a wall here and a roof. Mm-hmm. And then I can draw it like this, and that's a wall and a roof. And I can draw it like this, and it's a wall and a roof. Actually, it's a roof and a wall.
Uh-huh. And if you keep angling it, like when does it stop being a roof and stop being a wall?
Yeah. So what was I trying to hint at? Again, the question is, why is chach pasul?
It's continuous with what?
On the side is not as bad as chach pasul in the middle, and the answer is because we can view chach pasul on side as
part of the wall.
2 points.
Well, we were all standing.
And this is what the Gemara is going to call the following. Dofen akuma, a crooked wall. That we can actually call this case in which you have schach pasul on the side and then a wall, this isn't schach pasul. It's just a crooked wall.
See, the problem was that this got into the Mishnah, and everybody said, how do I reconcile this? So we look at it as a dofen akuma for the sake of trying to say, how can we make this make sense?
Okay, so right then we ask ourselves, does it make sense? Does it have any logical consistency? And Jan seems to say no.
Oh, but I think it almost does in a little way, and I think part of it is to the appearance that Tom talked about. Is how does your eye follow it? What does your eye see?
Mm-hmm.
If it's
mm-hmm.
part of the wall, if it's really connected to the wall, then your eye sometimes you get tricked into thinking that's part of the wall, and you don't think of it as the roof. But if you put it in the middle, there's no doubt there.
It's related to Tom's argument.
Right. That's what Jan said. Yes, you're right. It does make sense. So let's try to summarize what might be the halakha according to this matter of dofen akuma. So if we are following this line of reasoning, and it's not a necessary line of reasoning, it's possible, in the Talmud there is another opinion, but if we follow this line of reasoning, we'll say that schach pasul in the middle, already with more than arba tfachim, it's pasul. Arba tfachim is kasher, but arba tfachim, a little bit more than arba tfachim, is pasul. Whereas avir, right, open space, we said that already with 3 tfachim is already pasul wherever it is. And then, if you have schach pasul around the sides that is contiguous with the walls, that gives you a lot of leeway, and as long as you don't have 4 amot, it is kasher. 4 amot is already pasul. So that's one way of looking at it. Right? That's one way of looking at it. Let's try a different way of looking at it. What could we say if we didn't want to adopt this approach of dofen akuma, of a crooked wall? So we're back to the drawing board, right? How do we reconcile Mishnah Vav, Mishnah 6, with today's Mishnah? The Mishnah that talked about the Neser of Arba Tfachim. Is there any other possible solution that we could use? By the way, I've forgotten the answer to my question. I have a mental blank, so help me out.
The first mission we talked about the amount of shade. Could it relate to that?
But the amount of shade has to be more than the amount of sun. This definitely gives you shade.
I'm just saying, being in the middle versus being outside, or...
I don't know.
I'm just thinking out loud. I don't think it's anything.
we have to go, if I may, you know, I'd like to go back to basics.
Okay.
Okay. In Shmot...
That's real basics.
I mean, yeah, I'm going way back. You know, the Hebrews lived in Sukkot. And would you imagine it was some sort of either a tent or some structure which clearly must have been portable because they kept moving their camps, you know. And the roof, obviously, was not a solid roof, so... Okay, so what happened is, I'm looking at it from the spirit rather than the letter, if you will. The spirit is that it should look somewhat like a place that you live in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you have a structure where you have schach kasher misavi, you know,
on the sides,
and pasul, it just doesn't look like a lived, like a. Not like a spirit of a living, of yeah. a livable structure.
Plus it divides.
What are you going to live around the edges, you know?
Yeah, it's well that's what I was thinking. It divides your living, livable area. If you have that schach pasul in the middle, it divides the living area. Whereas here, you merely reduce the size of the living area, but you have one contiguous area inside.
There is some semblance of a dwelling. Mm-hmm.
In which case?
In the case where the outside is pasul and the middle is kasher.
Right.
Where...
Pasul mitzvadim, the kasher be'emtza.
Yeah. You have one contiguous...
It can be square, right. It can be rectangular, whatever the shape is.
But it's one solid.
It defines what I call a room.
Right. Where the other divides and makes two rooms.
Well, the other, I mean, I try to live within something that looks like a bagel. It's kind of hard. you know what I mean?
It does look like a bagel.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, I'm listening. I'm not convinced, but I'm listening.
It is just... You know, coming down to the spirit of why do we have Sukkot holiday in the first place? To commemorate a certain lifestyle that the Hebrews, the Israelites, had in the desert. That's what the purpose of it is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you don't want to just go way off the deep end to create something which is more difficult to create.
More difficult to create?
Yeah, I can imagine. It's a lot very difficult to create a sukkah that is schach kasher in the of the edges, arba amot in, and then the middle, you know, is like a solid.
You know what I mean? Just put a plank there, just like it says. Just
why couldn't it all be good schach?
Then we would not have a.
If you if
schach,
you don't have
the
situation.
Question.
Why? Yeah. You know, we're dealing with a what if this and what if that.
Okay, so we'll go to the Gemara and see how the Gemara deals with that when we get to it. You're about to say something?
Well, I hate to be practical like Brooks, but I mean, building something, you know, if you try and build a structure, it's hard to make just the wall and that's ends there. The people put supports and to hold it up, it requires, you know, with modern building things of hooks and Velcro and whatever, you can, it's easier, but to build with more primitive building things, it's hard to do that and to put supports across corners and things. I mean, you almost have to be able to have some space to do that with.
To keep the whole thing from falling over.
Yeah. Okay. It's all right.
Okay, let's go on to the next question that I asked here.
You didn't remember your answer yet?
No, I didn't actually, okay. But it's in the Gemara. Question 8. Could you think of a conceptual framework to explain why the case mentioned here in the beginning of a Mishnah is psula? So we're not talking anymore about comparing Mishnah to Mishnah, but we're just asking, why is it that if you have the schach pasul on the sides, and the middle schach kasher. So we said that it's you have a lot of leeway, because perhaps because of Dofen Akumah, for whatever other reason, but there's a certain point at which you have just so much Schach Pasul that the Schach Kasher in the middle doesn't help in the Sukkah's Psula. So why? Let's say you have a really big Sukkah, okay, and the area with Schach Kasher in the middle is really big. It could be as big as this whole synagogue. And then on the side, someplace where you can hardly see, around the four sides, right, you have Schach Pasul. Mm-hmm. So why can you think of a very simple reason, based on things we've learned already, why the Sukkah's Psula?
Seems too permanent.
Okay, seems too permanent. Something connected to the fact that this Schach Pasul is contiguous with the walls. I'll give you a hint. It goes back to the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah of our chapter. And that Mishnah says in the second line, the last three words of the second line, She'ein la shalosh tfanot. It doesn't have three tfanot. That's pasul. Sukkah needs four or three walls. If it doesn't have three walls, it is psula. Now, what makes a wall of a sukkah into a wall of a sukkah? What makes a wall of a sukkah into a wall of a sukkah?
It has to
support the scarf.
Right.
Or touch the scarf, yeah.
Because it's clear, if I built four walls, right, one in McKinney and one and one in Dallas, right, and I put some schach right in the middle in here in North Dallas, but those aren't walls of the sukkah. What makes walls second walls of the sukkah? That they are continuous with the schach.
If the walls are too far away
from the schach, they're not walls of the sukkah.
Then they're not walls of the sukkah.
So my suggestion is that even though, this is interesting actually, even though we're discussing now schach, the source of the psul is actually in the law of tfanot, and not in the law of schach.
But if, instead of it's kotel,
yeah, but I said that if the schach pasul around the edges was less than for amot, but now we're saying if it's more than for amot, you can't call it a dofen akuma, you can't call it a crooked wall, because it's not. It's just too big there to look at as part of the wall. It's now roof. And as roof, it intervenes, it's mapsik, right? It causes disconnect between the walls and the schach. And therefore, we might be able to say that the reason for the pasul in our Mishnah has nothing to do with the laws of schach pasul. It's rather a different law. A law that's about distance, a lack of connect between the walls and the schach. Mm-hmm. But wait a second, that's only half of the logic. If that's true, then the next question. If that's true, if that's the reason for the psul, then question 9, look back at the first Mishnah of the chapter where we learned the minimum number of walls necessary for a sukkah. 3. How might the halakha we learn there be important for an understanding of when the four amot side in our Mishnah disqualify the sukkah and when not?
If it's on two or more...
Very good! Right?
Because if it's on two or more of the walls, then you're down to less than two...
Right. Okay, very good. Fantastic. That's a gold star and 2 points. So what are we saying? That means if I had a sukkah with four walls, like in our Mishnah Yud, four walls, and the roof collapsed, and along all four walls, I have now roof that's arba amot or more, and I put in the middle schach kasher, big enough for a sukkah. Why is my sukkah psula? Because it has no walls. Because it has no walls. Now, let's change the scenario a little bit. I have my same sukkah, and the roof collapsed, but it's only on three sides that there's a bit of the roof left, more than arba amot. On the fourth side, the roof completely collapsed, and there the schach kasher extends all the way to the wall. This sukkah is also psula,
and
only has one wall. Mm-hmm. Next scenario, in which the sukkah has two walls. In other words, the roof collapsed, and on two of the four walls, there is a roof left of arba mot or more. On the other two walls, there's no roof left. And I put tzach continuous to the walls. So now I have a sukkah that has two walls. It's also no good. But what happens, now probably getting to the point, right? But what happens if the roof collapsed and only on one wall, next to one wall, is there roof remaining that's arba mot or more, but on three walls, there's no roof remaining. And the schach is contiguous with the walls. Here I would say, the sukkah is ksherah. Even though the Mishnah says what it says,
yeah.
Right, we have to say the Mishnah is talking, if we understand the Mishnah is talking about a psul from the point of view of walls, and obviously it only applies when the roof that remaining distance is the schach from the walls, is so that there's not three walls left. But if there's three walls left, then you're fine.
But I have another question. On Shmuel, it's right. Irchik et ha'sifut min ha'tumot shloshatva chim psula.
Avir. I laugh. It's the one of Avir. Avir. That's not shach psul. That's Avir.
So you can't have more than four walls?
Yeah, you can have more, I think. Yeah, you can make a hexagon and a pentagon, I think. Yeah. Yeah, you can.
If I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. isn't there in Israel an annual contest of people where they build unusual sukkot, like a sukkah on a camel?
It's because it looks like a gazebo is what we're sounding like.
Yeah, someone told me that like a sukkah on a camel.
I remember an exhibition of building all of the different sukkot mentioned in the Talmud. All the crazy sukkot, like on a camel and on a ship.
And on a pony.
But I don't know.
On a seat?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're finally now, after all that going on, to the next phrase in the Mishnah.
It's a Chabad sukkah. They do that?
Yeah.
New York. Okay. David. So I'm going to read the Mishnah from the beginning, as we've been reading, Mishnah Yud, and I'm going to go on and read the next phrase. Here we go. Bait shenifchat v'sikech al gabav. Im yesh min hakotel l'sikuch arba amot psula. V'chein chatzer shehi mukefet achsadra. Translation of the new words we just read. And so, v'chein, and so, chatzer, a courtyard, shehi mukefet, that she is, the courtyard is mukefet achsadra. Achsadra is a portico. And you might notice that's not a Hebrew word, it's a Greek word. It's a Greek loan word. Achsadra. Anyone know here Greek? No. I also don't know Greek, so I don't know exactly what the word comes from. But there's no, it's not a... That's what it is, but that's not the same root as this word.
No, but it's, I don't see that, but...
It's a portico. I didn't get to that yet. But a portico.
It's like a carport.
It's like a carport.
It's
between two buildings. It's covered.
It's covered.
Yeah.
But not exactly. Think of the following. Think of a. I'm just so bad at drawing things. Right. Think of this.
You have a house here, and you have a house here, and you have a house here. And this is the courtyard.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking from the top, obviously.
I'm looking, thank you. This is a roof.
Yeah, three walls.
This is a roof that's supported by columns.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The,
we have the courtyard.
Right. The part of the courtyard is covered by a
it could
roof.
Be eaves.
Mm-hmm.
Eaves? Is that what the word is?
Yeah.
That the roof extends?
The overhang.
Yeah, overhang.
Overhang.
Okay, so that is our achsada. And now you can imagine, you've probably seen it in museums and Greek buildings, it's pretty common to have that achsadra surrounded by, supported by columns. But then the word is, what is mukefet? The word mukefet, let's try and look at the roof. Is it the roof? The root. Obviously the mem is not part of the root, and the last letter of the tuf is not part of the roof. All we have, not part of the root. All we have here is a kuf and a pei. Something is missing. We can guess that the letter missing at the beginning, because the kuf has a dot in it.
Right.
That's probably a tashlum dagesh, a dagesh indicating that a letter has fallen out that should be there before the kuf. So some of you might know at the
beginning.
A hey or a vav or?
A yud. What? No.
A vav and a yud like the same thing. Yeah.
A nun?
A nun. A nun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nakaf. The root, I think, is nakaf. Say it again.
Hey kuf
hey. Hey kuf hey? I don't think so.
Hakafa.
Hakafa. What's the root of hakafa? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's hey kuf hey.
Surround.
I think it's nun. It's nun kaf kuf pei. Nakaf. I think. I could be wrong. This is not my specialty. Uh-huh. But look again. There's a dagesh there. Dagesh in the kuf. That indicates the missing letter is one that was before the kuf. So I think it's nakaf. I think it's nakaf. And the word nakaf means to surround. Like hakafot on Simchat Torah, hakafot, going around. Or the word tikufa, tikufa means a circling. Or it literally means a period. A tikufa is a circling. It says in the book of Shmot that the holiday of Sukkot is at tikufat hashana, the circling of the year. Tikufa means the circling. Anyway, we have here, we have in so a courtyard that is surrounded by achsadra. And a courtyard means it's three walls, but the fourth side is open. A courtyard that is surrounded by an achsadra, by a portico.
So, if our portico, if that eave is more than four amot, then we're in trouble.
Right.
Yeah, we're back to the what we had.
We're back
before.
to the same.
Right. When it says and so a chatzer she mukefet achsada, what so means is that you filled up the space in the middle, right? With
tzachta
sher, right? Looking from above.
Right.
And now you have a very beautiful sukkah with three walls, except for the fact that those three walls are discontiguous with the sukkah because the portico is mafsik.
Mm-hmm. Unless you use the support columns to define a wall.
Okay, if you did that, then fine. But that's not the case. The support columns are few and far between. Your walls are the walls of the building.
The facade
of the three buildings, and it's pasul. But of course, if only one... No, you need three walls. You need three walls. If only part of the place
if you only have
had a portico and part didn't, well, actually, I should do it differently.
Oh, there's an eraser underneath.
If
you see the eraser?
If you have a portico on only one wall.
On the board.
If I had a... Anyway, if I have a portico and three walls, it's not kasher because there's no walls. But if I have the portico only on half a wall, then I might have two and a half walls that are connected to the schach, and that's going to be enough.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not
But
that's
what I was saying, the portico is okay if it's small enough.
Yes.
Okay.
The portico is okay if it's small enough.
If you've got two and a half walls covered with portico.
Well, two and a half is three.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten to the halakha yet. Let's not confuse
it.
Of a certain distance, right? Yeah. We haven't touched at the distance. But anyway, if you have
enough kosher walls, then it's kosher. If you don't, then it's pasul.
If you only had one wall covered with a portico, and you made a temporary wall at the end,
that would be good.
Then you have three walls.
Very good. That would be good. Right? Like what Jan says is, what if I had there was no portico here, but there was one here and one here. So this wall is no good for the sukkah. This is no wall.
No, take the portico like, right. off of. Yeah.
I have no portico here, no portico here. So this is one wall, this is another wall. And I can just build a little wall here.
Wall.
As long as this schach comes up and is contiguous with the wall I just built here, even if it's a small wall, because the halacha is two walls and something, even a small wall is three, so that's kasher. Great. Great. Okay. We are now going on to the next part of the Mishnah, which is the last part. And it begins with the two last words of the second line from the top. Sukkah gdola. Shehi kifuha v'davar she'en misakachin bo. Im yesh tachtav arba amot psula. Translation. Sukkah gdola, a big sukkah. We'll have to ask how big is big. Shehi kifuha. He kifuha. Surrounded her. A big sukkah that he surrounded her b'davar she'en misakachin bo, with something that one doesn't make schach of. In other words, with schach pasul. So a sukkah gdola that has, let's say, four walls, and you purposely put on the outskirts of the schach, near the walls, because you didn't have enough schach kasher, then what's the halacha? Im yesh tachtav arba amot psula. If there is under it four amot psula, under it means if the area of the schach pasul, you're measuring it from below because you're inside the sukkah, is four amot or more, of course, then psula.
So it's the same, no?
It seems like the Mishnah says the same thing three times.
Arba amot psula.
Right.
If it's a collapse or not.
Right.
This is not dealing with a collapsed roof.
You're talking about what Amiram mentioned earlier. There are three different ways to get to the same basic halakha, whether it's a collapsed roof, whether it's achsadra, whether you purposely put schach pasul there to fill in the place. But the halakha is the same, that if you have arba amot or more of schach pasul on the outskirts, contiguous with the walls, then it's psula, and the reason is probably like we said, because then the walls aren't walls, which leads us to the conclusion we talked about earlier, then it depends how many walls are non-contiguous with the schach. I mean, it's only one, and three are contiguous, then fine. Then it's kasher.
Just taking kavanah out of it.
No one talked about kavanah.
No, but I'm saying by repeating it three times, it's taken completely off the table. I mean, you only had one question.
How is it surrounded in this last case? So, like, if you have a house and you take the roof off some part in the middle, so it's analogous in a sense to what we're talking about before with the
portico.
Rabbi Sukkah.
Is that right? No, because here, yeah. So right. So you've got a so it's kasher in the middle and then not around it. Mm. But here you're not. It seems like you're not dependent on. You know, what you've got are valid walls, and you know, could if you've just got a valid sukkah here, but surrounded by some other structure.
Some other structure?
I guess I don't understand the surrounded part. Like, if I take the roof off of, say, just this piece of the shul, and we've got all the other parts of the shul around us, and I put schach, you know, and walls, or take a prefab sukkah and build it in this room that's open.
I'm not following.
No, it's like the roof ladders in one room.
I think that the surrounded just means the edges of the roof are bad.
The edges of the sukkah.
Around the edges.
Right.
surround is not, it's maybe isn't the perfect word, but just around the edge.
Okay,
it's, around the edge,
it's all part of the sukkah structure.
It's part of the
Okay.
You've got a roof. You've got a sukkah for wherever it came from. The walls. You've got four walls. You've got a door, and around the edges they had skach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the scenario.
Right.
Again, it seems like the Mishnah has dealt with the same basic halakha with three different variations. Obviously, we'll ask, well, why did it say the same principle three times? We'll leave that for the Gemara. Let's look at some of the other questions I asked. We're in question 12. These are pretty easy questions. Question 12. What might be another and more concise way of saying Devar She'ein Misakachin Bo? I said the answer already. Tzach Pasul. And by the way, if we were critical students of the text, we would look at this whole chapter, and if we saw some Mishnayot that called Tzach Pasul Tzach Pasul, another Mishnayot called it Devar She'ein Misakachin Bo, we'd say these probably came from two different Batei Midrash. Right? And we'd start to find the history of the text, which is a fascinating thing to do. I don't have a lot of training in that. You're about to say something.
Yeah, I mean, when you say the words schach pasul, the very use of the word schach, there is implication that it was an attempt or intent to make it schach, but it's just something went wrong with it. Example. Okay. Let's say that it's made out of something that mekabel tumah. You cannot even call it schach.
I just don't think you're right.
Well, if I'm not right, then
I guess it's because
I'm suffering from the narrow definition of the word schach.
I actually think you're making a classic Talmudic distinction, and you should get 2 points for that. But as a critical scholar, I'm saying that just doesn't seem to hold water. You're doing exactly what Talmud would do. Would find a minute distinction. What is that called? It's called pilpul.
It just goes against... Schach means, to me, schach always meant something that you use...
You're my herd. You could be right.
You cut some trees, whatever it is, and you schlep it, and you put them on top. Yeah, as you go in schach, but when you say schach pasul, it's almost like an oxymoron.
Well, so it's kind of like a board, like we said, a board that's too wide, like you get from Home Depot, versus using a piece of drywall for your roof.
Okay, that's a very good example.
That makes a lot of sense. I don't know.
Two different intuitions here. But in any case, we're not going to belabor it.
Are we using... The way we're using it, does schach mean any kind of roof covering?
Yes.
Any kind of roof covering.
And then it's the schach kasher and schach pasul. Okay. Let's look at what these questions we basically did. Question 16. Why does the last part of the Mishnah, the part we just did, specify a sukkah gdola? What would be different in a sukkah ktana? That's a hard question. That's a hard one. It's actually a trick question.
If it has that kirot akumim, so it's going to be very, very small. Maybe it's not enough to have sukkah. But if it's gdola, you can think that it's okay if the walls continue.
Okay, that's pretty good. In other words, a sukkah gdola means perhaps that there's enough schach kasher for the midot, the measurements of a sukkah. So then, is the halakha different than a sukkah tana? No, it's not. The same halakha. So then what adverb is missing? That's my next question. What adverb is implied before the word sukkah gdola?
The tail?
No. If the halakha is true in the sukkah tana and the sukkah gdola, why does it say sukkah gdola?
Sufficiently.
Because you might have thought in the sukkah gdola,
it's okay.
Okay. So therefore, what adverb is missing?
Even.
Even. Right? Even a sukkah gdola. Shikifur b'davar shein misakachin bo. Imish tachtav arba amot psula. Of course in a sukkah tana. If you only had a sukkah that's very small, such that the minute you had tzchach pasul on the outskirts, the tzchach kasher doesn't meet the minimum requirements, of course that's pasul. But even a sukkah gdola that has enough tzchach kasher, it's still pasul because the walls are not walls, because the walls are not contiguous with the tzchach. So therefore, it's tzchach without walls. So it could be that what it means is even a sukkah gdola, a filu sukkah gdola.
So if I take sukkah gdola, but it's psula because the roof of the, and I put just the pills and the sheet.
And?
Under the schach.
Right, someone said that earlier.
You make new interior walls.
Yeah, that's what Yoram said earlier, that I could use the amudim, I can use
the pillars.
The pillars here. If I could use them for walls, then, as we say in Aramaic, enachinami, and indeed so, that could be okay. But just have to make sure there's walls. And then the fact that you have, outside of your new walls, you have a roof that's not kosher. So what? That's so not part of your sukkah. Right. Okay.
In biblical times, well, not only biblical times, but later as well, the typical housing unit used to be just like we described, a courtyard surrounded by living quarters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the way people live, that's the way they do it in many places in the world today. When the Mishnah said sukkah gdola, before you asked the question and explained it, I really thought that it was referring to a sukkah that is used more by the community rather than by a single family unit.
Uh-huh.
Because it comes immediately, because it follows the chatzer, you know, the chatzer, which is a courtyard.
But anyway, I think what we said makes sense. I want to go on because there's important material in the Gemara to put everything together. So since time is short, we're not going to do the first paragraph of the Gemara, and that's actually a paragraph that I hinted to earlier and something that David asked, but we won't have time to look at it. We'll look at the second paragraph there, the bottom of my sheet. This is Talmud Bavli, Tractate Sukkah, page 17a to 17b, and we'll begin with what it says, Amar Rabbah. Amar Rabbah, it's the Gemara on our Mishnah. Ashkachtin hu l'rabbanan. I found the rabbis. I'm translating literally. Said Rabbah, I found the rabbis, Devei Rav, of the school of Rav, diyatve, that they were sitting v'ka'amri, and they were saying. And he walked into a discussion. And the discussion said as follows. Avir posel v'shlosha. Open space disqualifies with three, it's three tfachim, right?
Three tfachim.
Schach pasul posel ba'arba'a. Sach pasul disqualifies arba'a in the feminine, which means it's amot. Right? It has a hey at the end, the last word of the line, it's a hey at the end. That's how we know that it's not tfachim, it's amot.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. Okay, fine. So what are we saying here? We're saying the end of Mishnah 9 talks about avir, and that's shloshat tefachim. Our Mishnah talks about schach pasul, and that's arba amot. Did I misspeak?
No.
I got it right. Okay. That's good, right? That makes sense. That's a true observation. That's what Rabba heard the rabbi saying. Now the beginning of the second line, va'amina lahu ana, and I said to them, I. Right, this is Rabba speaking. I said, he said, I don't agree. You guys got it wrong. What did he say? He said, Avir de posel b'shlosha manalechu.
Why?
I'm sorry, I confused you guys. I got it. I'm sorry, I confused you. I got it all wrong. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. I'm sorry. I'm translating again. Said Rabbah, I found the rabbis of the school of Rav that were sitting and saying, open space disqualifies with three, with the hey at the end of the word, three tfachim, and tzach pasul disqualifies with four tfachim. I said, Amot, I was wrong. It's tfachim. They both have a hey at the end. The shlosha and the arba, they're both talking about tfachim. I'm sorry. And why are they saying that? They're getting those arba tfachim of tzach pasul, not from our Mishnah. Where are they getting it from?
They're getting it from the prior one.
From Mishnah Vav, from the sixth Mishnah, that said the neser,
right,
of arba tfachim is kshira, indicating that more than that is pasul. So what they're saying here is that open space disqualifies with three tfachim, and tzach pasul disqualifies with more than four tfachim. They're getting it from Mishnah Vav. They're not looking at our Mishnah. I'm sorry, I confused you. And then the next line looks at our Mishnah and says, wait, what are you saying? Next line. And I said to them, wait a second, guys, you got it all wrong. Look at Mishnah Yud. And I'm going to now translate. Avir de posel b'shlosha, open space that disqualifies in three tfachim manalechu, where do you, how do you know? Ditanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, quote, hirchik min hasikuch min hatfanot shlosha tfachim psula. If you distance the schach from the tfanot shlosha tfachim, it's psula. And then, wait a second, then he goes on to say, schach pasul nami, schach pasul also lo lifsol, Ela ba'arba amot. Also, you should only make it disqualified with arba amot ditanan, as we learned in the same Mishnah. Remember, in the Gemara, it's the same Mishnah, Mishnah Tet, Mishnah Yud. Bayit shenifchat, a bayit house that collapsed. Sichek al gabav, you put tzchach on it. Im yesh bein hazikuch lakotel arba amot psula. So there's a dispute here, right? From where do we learn the law of Tzach Pasul? From Mishnah Vav or from Mishnah Yud? It's a dispute between the rabbis and one particular rabbi. The Amruli, and they said to me, Rabbi says that they said back to me, those rabbis who were sitting in the circle, they said, Bar Minah Dehu. Bar means excluding. Exclude from it that. Now the rabbi said, don't look at Mishnah Yud. That's an exceptional case. You should only look at Mishnah Vav. Why should we exclude Mishnah Yud from our discussion of Tzach Pasul? The Rav Shmuel Amri Tarvayu, that both Rav and Shmuel said both of them, Mishum Dofen Akuma Naguba, because of a crooked wall they touched it. Now they talked about it. In other words, Mishnah Yud that allows you all that roof to be Pasul and it doesn't ruin the Sukkah, that's a special law of the curved wall. And don't bring that into discussion of Tzach Pasul. That's a special case. Only when the Tzach Pasul is on the sides. But if you want to just talk about how much Tzach Pasul passes a Sukkah, don't look at that. Look at Mishnah Vav. And then you have, if it's more than Arba Tfachim, Tzach Pasul, more than Arba Tfachim, Tzach Pasul ruins it. So it's Avir B'Shlosha, and Tzach Pasul with more than four. That's the opinion of the rabbis. But remember that the other rabbi, Rabbah, had its different opinion. He really looked at Mishnah Yud. So what that means is that the majority here says our Mishnah of today is a special case of Tzach Pasul near the walls, Dofen Akuma, special case, whereas Rabbah says, no, it's not a special case. It's not a special case. Okay, let's finish with the last paragraph. I know it's late. If anyone wants to walk out, what can I do? This is, I think, interesting. It's going right on where we left off. There's a few lines that I left out. Bisura, Sura is a town in Babylonia, one of the major yeshivot. What? There were three major yeshivot. Sura, Nahardai, and Pumbadita. So it says, Bisura Amri Lahashmatata Behai Lishna. in Surah, they said that tradition, that Shmata, in that Lashon, in that language. What we just read is the way they remembered the discussion in Surah. Period. B'nahadai matnu. But in Nahardai matnu, they learned it as follows. They had a whole, they had this, the same basic discussion a little bit differently. They remembered it differently in Nahardai. Here we go. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, said Rav Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, Schach Pasul Be'emtza Posel Ba'arba'a. Schach, that's not kosher, in the middle, right? In the middle of the Sukkah. Posel Ba'arba'a, with a hay at the end, that's talking about Tfachim. So, right, that's Mishnah Vav. Min hatzad, but if it's on the side, posel ba'arba amot. So on the side, it's posel ba'arba amot. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel.
Is it in the side?
Is Mishnah Yud. No, mechubar, connected. It's yeah. The Rav Amar, where someone else said, Rav said, bein min hatzad u'bein be'emtza. Whether it's on the side, whether it's in the middle, doesn't matter. Ba'arba amot. Four amot. In other words, according to Rav, our Mishnah of today is not about Dofen Akuma. It's not about a special case of the Schach Pasul being on the side. It doesn't matter where it is. So just like you had two opinions in Surah, there's two opinions in Pambatit. They're saying a little bit differently, but it's the same basic thing. You know what? Since time is short, we can stop there. So I'm just showing you there are two different opinions. Mm-hmm. Of how to jive our different Mishnayot. Mm-hmm. One way of jiving them is clear, the other is not clear. If we say Dofen Akuma, then everything is clear. Mishnah Vav is talking about Schach Pasul in the middle, right? And Schach Pasul in the middle is Posel the minute you have more than Arba Tfachim. Whereas our Mishnah of today, it's a special case, if you say it's a special case, of Dofen Akuma, of Schach Pasul on the side, then you have more leeway up to Arba Amot. Fine. And that's one opinion, and that's the Halakha. But if the other opinion says no, that our Mishnah, the Tofet Arba Amot, that it apostles, disqualifies Schach, whether it's on the side or in the middle. And if it's in the middle, even if it's in the middle, you're allowed to put up to Arba Amot of Schach Pasul, even in the middle, and it's still good. But then how do you explain Mishnah? How do you explain Mishnah Vav? Mishnah Vav says that if you have even a little bit more than Arba Tfachim, it's already no good. What are we going to do with that? And the answer is that it's a special case.
Well, Mishnah Vav doesn't disqualify the Sukkah.
But implies if you have more.
But implies if you have a little bit more.
Less than four. But if it's more than four.
Okay, so I'm going to leave that as a question. Okay, we didn't finish the Gemara. I'm going to leave that as a question. So I don't want to say something important and bombastic when you're already one foot out the door. And also, I am also one foot out the door. So we'll leave it. So let's see if we can remember that issue until next week. And then perhaps we'll spend more time in the Gemara before we get to the next Mishnah, which ends the chapter. Good evening.
Good evening.